Tonight, I just have a simple word. I want to tell you to get in the fight. What fight? The good fight. There's a good fight? Yeah, everybody knows the good fight's the one you win, right? That's a good fight. Bad fight's when you lose. But that's not why it's called the good fight. The good fight is the fight of faith. It's the fight that we have all been called to. A fight with your spouse is not the good fight. A fight with the brother of the Lord is not the good fight. A fight with your coworker is not the good fight. Fighting with your neighbors is not the good fight. Fighting with an atheist is not the good fight. A lot of people are really confused about some of this, all right? Fighting with flesh and blood is not the good fight. Three times Paul talks about the good fight. All three times are in his letters to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight. I'm telling you tonight, fight the good fight. You got to get in the fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, he tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He gives us more insight here in this verse. He tells us fighting the good fight, it has to do with finishing your race. You have a race. There's a purpose of God in your life that you need to fulfill. That's part of your good fight. And he also tells us that it is a fight of faith. He says, I kept the faith. You see, we can't fight this fight without faith. It takes trusting God. For us to really do and be what God wants us to do and be, it takes faith. Because I want to tell you, he is a God of faith. And if he's involved in it, it's going to involve us trusting him, believing him, relying upon him always. We can't do it without the Lord. So I want to say it again. The good fight is our fight to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. And it won't happen without a fight, because we have an adversary. Amen. You need to know, you have an adversary, the Bible says. Satan is our adversary, and he is always working against us. He does not want you to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. And if he can't take you out, he at least just wants to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. He'll try to lull you to sleep. A lot of people sleeping. The Bible says, wake up, O sleeper. It's time to wake up. I tell you, we need to be awake and ready, sober, vigilant, the Bible says, because we have an enemy. He'll try to intimidate you, try to scare you, put fear in your heart, get you to, you know, just step back from the fight. He'll try to make you think that you can't make a difference. But you need to know that there is a spiritual battle that's taking place, and you have to be a part of it. Now, here's a strange thing, is that a lot of believers just seem to be unaware that there even is a fight. And what's even stranger is that a lot of people that are aware there's a fight aren't really in the fight. We need to be in the fight. Every single one of us matter in the kingdom of God. See, I don't think, and I know the Lord doesn't think, that anybody is a nothing. Everybody in here, you matter to God, and you matter in this fight. You need to be in this fight. It makes a difference. Got to stay in the fight like Paul. Until we can say, I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I've kept the faith.
He knew when his time had come. But until then, you see, we got to stay in the fight. We got to fight the good fight of faith and run our race and keep the faith until we are done. There's never a time in this life that we don't have to be a part of this spiritual fight that's taking place. Some people say, no, I'm Pastor, I'm more of a lover, not a fighter. I want to tell you, if you really are a lover, you will be a passionate fighter. Because if you love people, you're going to stand and fight for people spiritually. You're going to, you know, some of us, we're like, I will die and I will kill for my loved ones. Okay, just me. I don't know. Oh, there's some of you out there. I know. Mm-hmm. You well-armed. But here's the thing. We're talking about something even more important than that. Because we're not just talking about the physical body. We're talking about an eternity. We're talking about that we need to be in the fight and fight for people. You love people, then you fight for people. Amen. And not just our four, no more, but we're fighting for the lost. We're fighting for those people that are so messed up. In Nehemiah 4:14, it says this, "Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." I want to tell you, we have to fight for those that we love. Fight for souls. And really, I want to make sure you understand this. Loving people, that's a whole lot of how we fight. Some Christians kind of got this all messed up in the time that we live in. They're mad and bitter and angry and hateful, ugly, and they're not doing the kingdom of God any good at all. They're doing the devil's work. We win people by loving people, sharing the gospel with people, helping people, ministering to people. Look at the life of Jesus. Amen. He's our Savior. He's the one we follow, and we just got to keep this straight. That we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Listen, we do it the way that Jesus did. We win people. We're fighting the powers of darkness, fighting for eternal souls. And you know, the enemy of our soul, he is a master deceiver. It started in the garden when he deceived Eve. And it's been going on ever since. He even tried to deceive the Lord Jesus. But every time he tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus quoted the scripture to him. He knew the truth. And I'm just telling you that we need to be careful that we are wise to his devices, his schemes, because he wants to get us fighting against flesh and blood always. And here's what the scripture says. Listen, how do you fight deception? Truth. Where do you get truth? The word of God. Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Our fight is with the powers of darkness. That's our real fight, not flesh and blood. Get in the fight. Not with flesh and blood. No, this is a spiritual battle. A lot of people just seem to be so confused about that, but it's just a trick of the devil. He tries to get us out of the fight by getting us to fight with people. That's not where our real battle is. No, our battle is with the powers of darkness. It's destroying the works of the devil. It's seeing people set free. It's seeing people healed physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus healed the brokenhearted. Amen. It's seeing people moved from the dominion of darkness over into the kingdom of Jesus. Amen. You see, that's what this fight is about. It's seeing people set free. Seeing people get right with God, it's advancing the kingdom of God. That's what Paul's life was all about. He fought the good fight. He finished his race. He kept the faith. Get in the fight. I want to challenge you tonight. Fight the good fight of faith. Most believers are just kind of content to, well, let's just live a normal life. And no, let's fight this fight. Let's do everything we can to take as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. Amen. Let's try. You know, Nehemiah, he was telling them, fight for your families, fight for your brothers. You know, see, we need to fight not only for the lost, we need to fight for one another. We've had too many casualties. How can we avoid that? We fight for each other. See, we fight for each other in prayer. I read in there in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we read that about we're fighting against the powers of darkness. And just, you know, about six verses later, he's telling us that we are to pray all prayer and supplication. And we do it with perseverance. We're praying for all the saints. See, we all need that. We need somebody in our corner fighting. Now, I'm challenging you tonight to fight the good fight. Sometimes pastors just need to encourage people. But you know, if you're in the boxing ring and you're getting whooped up on, and you come over to your corner, you don't need somebody to pat you on the back and say, well, that's all right. Sometimes you need somebody to throw a little cold water in your face and say, get in the fight. Come on, get in the fight. Y'all too quiet. Like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you, a lot of you in the fight, and a lot of times we don't realize it until we're down. I'm talking about down on the mat, and then we're like, oh, I'm in a fight. But you see, it's not just about us. We need to be fighting for one another and fighting for the lost in this fight. Not, this isn't just a, you know, some kind of religious ride till we get to heaven. No, we're in a great battle, and there are souls that are at stake. Get in the fight. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Somebody's thinking, no, I didn't enlist. Well, he enlisted you. I think nowadays we call that you got drafted. But we are supposed to live our life to please the one who enlisted us. And I just tell you, we get so busy with our American life, you know, busy with work and busy with our hobbies and pleasures and all this stuff we want to do, and we just don't really have time. What did he say? He says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Listen, that doesn't mean that we can't have a life and, you know, do like live a normal life. But here's the thing. We got to have time. We got to have room for the Lord in our life to be used of God, to be a part of this battle that we're in. Now, y'all came on Wednesday night, so I'm assuming that you know a little bit about, you know, having time for the Lord. But I'm just telling you, we got to have time to get in this fight. In Matthew 16:25, it says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He's not talking about being a martyr. I mean, it can be that, but that's not really the whole picture there. He's talking about that we're willing to lay down our lives. You can have it all. We're willing to lay down our lives. And you see, when we're really willing to do that, not just theoretically, like lip service, but we're really willing to lay down our lives, that's when we really find life. That's when we really experience the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. I gotta tell you, that life was intended to be more than just a feel-good, you know, kind of a religion, you know, get me to heaven kind of a thing. It's the battle of the ages where the souls of men and women and young people and children are at stake. That's what we're in. We're in a fight. We got to get in the fight. I'm always in disbelief, you know, when I see or hear about these stories of someone that was being attacked or hurt or killed, and there were other people that stood by and watched and didn't do anything. It just blows my mind. And they were afraid, or they said, well, you know, didn't want to get involved. What are we doing? Are we afraid? We just don't want to get involved? Somebody, I'm telling you, the enemy, he is destroying people's lives. All the heartache and terrible things going on in this world, so many people have messed up lives. And people say, why does God let this go on? That is the work of Satan. And Jesus wants to destroy the works of the devil. And he's working and moving through his body, the church. Amen. But we got to be in the fight. Let God use us. How desperately they need us to get in the fight. You know, the good fight is really all about people. God so loved the world, and we're co-laborers with God. We got to be willing to get in the fight. But the plan and the purpose of God for our lives will always involve other people. That's what he cares about in this world. Not money. He paves his streets with gold. You think he's worried about money? Well, he's not worried about people either, but he wants us to reach people. He wants us to be in the fight and destroy the works of the devil and do the works of Jesus. Listen to this. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. That's getting in the fight. He was telling the disciples, go get them. But I want to say to you tonight, every time you pray with someone, you're getting in the fight. And did you know that almost anybody, if they're in a great battle, if they're going through a hard time, if they're hurting, even if they are not believers, if you ask them, can I pray for you? They will almost always say yes. Amen. And that's getting in the fight when you pray for people. In fact, there's no better way to fight than to pray. I know I've done my very best fighting on my knees. Every time that you intercede for others, you know about somebody or some situation, and you get on your knees and you pray for them and you bring their name before the Lord, that's getting in the fight. See, every time you encourage someone in the Lord, and we're supposed to do this all the time as brothers and sisters. The Bible says encourage one another daily. Daily is how you get in the fight. You encourage one another. You know, one of the main things that happen to people when they're in a battle, when they're struggling, is the enemy gets them discouraged and defeated. He gets them down. And see, what they need somebody to come along and encourage them. Just to give them a word from the scripture, or just to build them up, or just have something kind to say to them, or just to let them know that you're there for them, but encourage them. That's getting in the fight. See, when you invite somebody, you bring somebody to church, that's getting in the fight. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's fighting. Amen. Every time you serve in a ministry, well, it better be being a part of the fight. Amen. That's why we do what we do. Every time you share the word with somebody, that's getting in the fight. Every time you tell somebody what God has done for you, you witness what the Lord has done for you, that's getting in the fight. Get in the fight. Get in the fight. You know, when you share the good news with a drug addict, that's getting in the fight. When you work in the children's ministry, that's getting in the fight. When you lay hands on the sick, that's getting in the fight. You know, when you talk about fighting, I think of one of the greatest fighters of all time. No, I'm not talking about Muhammad Ali. I'm talking about David, the man after God's own heart. You know, David's a great example of someone who was willing to get in the fight. The most famous fight of all, David fighting Goliath. He's just a teenage boy. His dad sent him with some bread and some cheese to take it to his brothers who are at the front lines, where the army of Israel has faced off with the Philistines. And every day this 9-foot-tall man comes out and taunts them and makes fun of them. And they're all scared to death of him. But here's this young man, teenager, we can learn a lot from him. He sees that nobody is doing anything. They're all afraid. In a sense, they were almost like defeated, even though they hadn't even fought yet. But David sees this situation and he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He says to his brothers, "Is there not a cause?" You see, David saw what was going on. And this, we got to get this. We need to see the need. If we're going to get in the fight, we need to see the need. I mean, it will stir you. It will motivate you if you just see the need. That's what happened to David. He comes out there to the front lines. He's just bringing lunch to his brothers, but he sees the need. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? We're not going to allow this to happen. There's a cause. I want to tell you, there's a cause today. So many people under attack, under the power of the enemy. Oh, how they need our help. See, we got to see the need of the family next door that doesn't have any peace in their home. We need to see the need of those that are dealing with serious illness. We need to see the need of those that are struggling financially that can't make ends meet. We need to see the need of the lost, the bound, the hurting. The Bible tells us that when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with compassion. And I'll tell you, if we can just open our eyes and see, there's so many needs around us, so many people struggling and hurting. Got to see the need. Too often, we just kind of get focused on our own little world. Got to see the need. Second, we need to see the need as an opportunity. See, when Goliath would come out and taunt the army of Israel, they saw an adversary that they just couldn't overcome. But David saw an opportunity. And every time we encounter a need, we might feel like we're too inadequate, that we don't have what it takes. But we need to see it as an opportunity for God to bring victory and for God to be glorified. What if your greatest battles were your greatest opportunities? I mean, David had a 9-foot-tall opportunity. That's the way he saw it. You know, some people thought he was too big to kill. David thought he was too big to miss, right? But now, that's not really why he went up against him. We like to say that, but it's not really why he went up against him. He went up against him because he knew that the Lord was on his side. And I want to tell you, when you're in this fight, when you're doing what God wants you to do, he's on your side. You're not ever doing it alone. He's with you. And he's the one that sees to it that the work is done. Well, you can't heal anybody. You can't change somebody's life, but he can. But he waits for us to be willing to be that vessel. We just got to be willing to get in the fight and seize that opportunity. See, you got to see the need as an opportunity. I tell you, God gives all of us opportunities every day because he has a plan and a purpose for our life. We got to make sure we don't just miss those God-given opportunities, because I'm going to tell you, some of them, you're only going to get one time. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." I don't know about you, but I know I've missed some opportunities sometimes. You know, the world talks about opportunities and opportunities missed. And a lot of times they're just talking about money or success or achievement. But we're talking about something much more important. We got to see the need as an opportunity. You know, that's amazing if you think about it. Because we all come across a lot of needs. And it's an opportunity. And when God gives us an opportunity, yes, there's going to be faith involved, because something even as simple as inviting somebody to church, we do that in faith. We're trusting God that he's going to deal with their heart and that something's going to happen in their life. Whatever it is, you know, we're trusting God. We're believing God. We're not just doing it alone. Third, you got to face the opposition. David wasn't afraid to face Goliath. You know, I think if I was going to fight somebody 9-foot-tall, I think I'd run in circles around them and see if I could get them dizzy or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not David. The Bible tells us David didn't hide in the bushes or anything like that. The Bible tells us that he ran to meet him. You got to face the opposition. And by opposition, yeah, we need to understand that the powers of darkness are against us. Certainly, we need to know that. In Matthew 11 and 12, it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." You see, we have to be willing to be forceful. Now, I want to clarify here, because a lot of people get mixed up about this kind of stuff. He's not talking about being forceful with flesh and blood. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that Christians are supposed to, you know, take up arms and go out and take over the world. Y'all quiet. My wife is laughing because she knows how foolish that is, but I've known people that actually believe that's what we're supposed to do. Let's all go buy a bunch of guns and try to take over the world. Bubba, you need to go home. I'm just saying. We're here fighting not against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness. I'm telling you, we got to be in this fight and forcefully do it. But it's not being forceful with flesh and blood. It's being forceful about being willing to go out and do what God wants us to do, that we don't allow ourselves to sit back, but we take it by force. David faced the opposition. You know, David didn't just face the opposition of Goliath. He also faced the opposition of the ridicule of his brothers. Because when he shows up and he starts asking who this Philistine is and all that, they thought he just had some selfish motivation behind it. He's just stirring up stuff. And I got to tell you, even when you are trying to help people or you're involved in the work of the Lord, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that will criticize you and say things against you and say you're doing it for some false motive, or there's going to be people that hurt your feelings. And there's too many Christians today who say, well, I used to do this and I used to do that, but you know, people hurt my feelings and I don't want to ever do that again. And they're out of the fight. There's too much at stake. You turn your hurt feelings over to Jesus and let him heal you and get in the fight. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Every one of you, you get in the fight, you're going to get your feelings hurt. That's part of the problem, is I think some people, they get disillusioned because, well, here I am trying to serve the Lord and do what the Lord wants me to do. And instead, I just got, you know, people attacked me. People said ugly things to me and hurt my feelings. So I'm telling you the truth. You know how I know you're going to get your feelings hurt? Anybody figure that one out? I've been called all kinds of things. I've been accused of all kinds of things. People didn't call me, and people can't uncall me. Jesus called me. And here's the thing, you might not be called to vocational ministry, but everybody in this room, God has a call on your life. You matter to God, and you matter to the kingdom of God, and you matter to the lost, the hurting, the backslidden of this world. You matter. You can make a difference. But you got to be in the fight and you got to be willing to face the opposition even when it comes from your own camp, even when it's your own brothers and sisters or your own family. That's the way it was for David, wasn't it? It was his own brothers. So here's the big revelation. If you're going to get in the fight, you got to know that you're in for a fight. Is that too simple? It's right. You're in for a fight. There's going to be battles. There's going to be struggles. Anytime you get involved in the work of the Lord. But we got to be willing to persevere, to be forceful. Not with people. That's misdirected energy. That's not where our battle is. Our battle is with our true adversary. In 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9, Paul says, I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door of effective work has opened to me there. Opened to me. Wow, that just sounds awesome, doesn't it? Are y'all seeing the rest of that verse already? Yeah. And there are many who oppose me. And I have found it that way again and again and again. Let's see. We won't talk about grace. I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm just giving you one little bitty example. The last church that I youth pastored at, when I went there and began to be the youth pastor, I'm giving you the short version. Oh, there was some people who hated me. Because their friend that was the youth pastor before me, you know, they just couldn't accept me being there. And they hated me. Stirred up all kinds of things about me. Trying to say there's something wrong between me and Carmen. Well, they didn't have their wedding bands on one day. Something's going on. All kinds of crazy lies they told. It was so icky, I was just like, it's not supposed to be this hard. And then we had this breakthrough, this time where every single week we were setting a new attendance record. We had so many teenagers whose lives were changed. We went 16 weeks in a row up each week. 16 weeks in a row. I've never seen that before. But that was after such great opposition. And my point to you is that, yes, when you're facing opposition and things are difficult and things are hard, that's not the time to quit. That's the time to realize that God is going to bring about a great harvest, a great miracle, some great change. It's coming. How do great victories come? Well, they come from great battles. That's right. You know, David always trusted God. Fourth, we got to trust God. We're not doing it ourselves. Our trust is in the Lord. He is our strength. We're co-laborers with Him, and ultimately the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. David's trust was in God. When he came against Goliath, he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." That's how we do whatever God gives us to do. We do it with His help. He's known as a mighty warrior. And yet, if you read the scripture, you see that he always trusted God. And you see, then he always gave God the glory. And that's the way that works. You see, when we think we can do it in our own strength by ourselves, then we don't give God the glory. Look what I did. But when we know that it's only by God's help that we accomplish anything, then he gets the glory. I like this verse. It's a little harsh, but I think it's fun. 1 Samuel 17:46, David said to Goliath, he said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." Don't tell anybody that. But I just want you to see again. He didn't boast and say, "Look what I'm going to do." He said, "The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and then I will strike you and take your head from you." But he knew it was God that was doing it. It is a fight of faith. We don't do any of this in human strength. Fifth, we got to seize the opportunity that God has given to us. Now, I already talked about the opportunities, but I just want to say, David ran to meet Goliath, and we got to go after our opportunities. Is there something you can do? Is there something that God has put on your... Is there an opportunity that He's shown you? Have you seen a need? We got to go after it. Can't just be comfortable with our life and our walk with the Lord and just take it easy. You know, comfortable's just way too close to complacent. And in a fight, I got to convince y'all. Y'all too quiet. We really are in a fight. Anybody in here ever been under attack? Anybody ever been? Yeah, we all have. We need to remember we are in a fight, and there are people all around us every day, everywhere. And oh, how far down some of them are. And when we see these people, they're so messed up. Oh, how they need the Lord. They've been blinded by the God of this age. They desperately need the Lord. They desperately need the light of the gospel. There was a calling on David's life. He had a purpose to fulfill. I told you that the Apostle Paul ran his race. He had that purpose to fulfill. In Acts 13:36, it says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. You see, once we have fulfilled that purpose, well, we're done. If you're still here, you still have a purpose, and you need to know that. And when you fulfill the purpose of God in your life, well, you get to go home and be with the Lord, which is far better. People say, opportunity knocks. Did you know it doesn't always knock? Sometimes you have to do the knocking. Okay, I'm just putting that out there. I'm just telling you, we got too much not being in the fight. But there's somebody a lot of the time waiting on the other side of the door of opportunity. Somebody in need. You might be the answer to somebody's prayer. There's always an excuse. Don't allow it to keep you from what God wants you to do. Sixth, get involved. David sure got involved, didn't he? Thomas Edison said, the reason many people miss opportunities is because they come wearing overalls and they look like work. And I'm going to tell you the truth, almost any kind of ministry or anything you do for the Lord, it involves work. That's why we call it the work of the Lord. But it's the most fulfilling work that you'll ever do. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. That's where the fight is. It's working for the Lord, what God wants you to do. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. If you're going to be passionate about anything, it ought to be about serving the Lord. The last point tonight about getting in the fight, and this last point, you know, David is such a great example, but sometimes we learn something from the mistakes of others, and that's the last point tonight. So if you're going to get in the fight, don't stay home. David was such a good example of someone that got in the fight, but then there came a day when he didn't. In 2 Samuel 11, 1 and 2, it says, in the spring at that time when the kings go off to war, you see, the kings normally led their men into war. David, instead, he sent Joab out with the king's men with the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Woman was very beautiful. Most of you know what happens. It's the woman Bathsheba. And he sleeps with her. And he ends up having her husband killed. It was a horrible, horrible sin. How did this happen to this great man of God, this great warrior? He was supposed to be in the fight. And I just want to tell you that so often, when people aren't doing what God wants them to do, they end up in trouble. They end up in a mess. We're supposed to stay busy about the master's business. And when you're really in the fight, I want to tell you, it keeps you from that kind of harm and tragedy in your own life. And I'm not saying that nothing will ever happen to you, but I'm just saying that so much of the time when we aren't really in the fight like we ought to be, we drift. That's what happened to David. I'm sure he didn't intend for something like that to ever happen in his life. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And I'm telling you, you need to be in the fight. If you're a Christian, you can't coast. There's no neutral in this battle. You got to be in it. Get in the fight. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed.